the story that just kind of unfolded naturally created a drive to survive kind of format. And yeah, the characters, many of the characters from that, Kyle, Caden Nemoff, Michael Lloyd, some of the people that we featured in those episodes of Breaking Pickleball, you know, they tell me that they're getting recognized. Craig Johnson has the greatest line where his wife says to him, like, people are like coming up to you and they want to meet you. It's like ridiculous. Welcome to the Future of Pickleball. I'm your host, Paul Olson. We're broadcasting this on Selkirk TV. This is the show where I get a chance to talk to the folks that really make a difference. And today, my guest is one of the OGs of the business of pickleball. Patrick Sullivan, welcome to the show.
Hey, Paul. It's so good to be here with you. Happy Friday.
I'll tell you, I have really looked forward to this. It is, you know, for all the different people I have a chance to interview and talk to and things like that, nobody goes back to the earliest stages of pickleball from the business side of things that you did. I remember I met you at a Victorium event that we were both at, and I did not know of Jigsaw Health at that time. First of all, give our guests a little bit of an idea of what Jigsaw Health is, because then we're going to come into how you got into the sport of pickleball with it.
Yeah, Jigsaw Health, my dad and I started Jigsaw in 2005, and we've always been known for really high-quality premium nutrition products. My wife Ashley and I discovered pickleball in the summer of 2018 in Flagstaff, and in 2019, we attended Picklepalooza, the big event held in Bobby Riggs Tennis and Racket Center in Encinitas, California, and we realized that no other nutrition companies were really paying attention to pickleball at all. We also began to learn how difficult the pickleball tournament format is and how hydration and cramping is such a big deal. So Ashley and I, going into 2020, from a marketing perspective, Ashley's my wife. She's also a business partner in Jigsaw Health and the chief marketing officer. We decided to just make a cannonball, a splash into pickleball. We sponsored six pros. We sponsored both the PPA Tour and the APP Tour. We basically said yes to everything for the first year. And one of the things that maybe people know about Jigsaw Health now is the Jigsaw Pickleball Cocktail, a very popular electrolyte product used by tournament pickleballers all around the country, all around the world. And it's what the key difference, the key aspect of that is that it contains 800 milligrams of potassium, which is about the equivalent of two bananas worth of potassium. But it doesn't taste like bananas because I don't like bananas. It tastes more like Tang.
All right. Well, that's great. And we're going to bill you for the commercial. But now what I want to point out, what a lot of people I don't think realize, because we had so many people who have come into the game that are now active and involved, and they've come in the last year or two. In 2020, we had something called the COVID epidemic blow up.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I found really interesting about your business and your operation from the time that I met you is how involved you were in Jigsaw of doing video production and doing things that were really on the creative side of it. How did you and Ashley, what's your background in the creative world?
Well, Ashley and I, we were professional musicians for about 8 years. We played in a band in the Phoenix area, and we brought that into Jigsaw Health with the help of my cousin, Corey, who is the director of video productions, and he graduated from USC Film School, started working at Jigsaw in about 2016, and we started a series that we called Hashtag Funny Friday. Every week, we would send an email out to the Jigsaw Health customer base with a quote unquote commercial that was kind of like an SNL skit or a music parody and stuff like that. And when we started to get into pickleball and we sponsored pros, one of the things we asked ourselves is like, well, what are we going to do to kind of announce that we have these relationships and how can we do it? And one of the things that I realized as a pickleball addict myself, watching hours and hours of pickleball, is if you ran the same single commercial over and over, no matter how good it was, the audience was going to kind of get annoyed with that commercial. So sure. I realized variety is the spice of life. So we would fly pros. I think the first pro to come in was actually Irina Tereshenko. And we filmed a video of her basically hitting electrolyte packets at one of our shipping guys as he was trying to staple them onto cards. We took a page out of the This Is Sports Center playbook from ESPN, where they would have pros come in and do stuff randomly. And our answer, our question was like, well, what if we had pickleball pros come into Jigsaw office and just do random stuff? We ended up, Paul, I think we've made 70 or 80 of those 30-second commercials with almost 10 different pros we've worked with, I think, now. And it's been so, so much fun.
Hi, I want to tell you guys about one of the best additions I've got to my game. And it's not another paddle. It's not another shirt. It's my Selkirk Tour Bag. Selkirk bags are designed with tremendous intent. They're to help you organize, to keep things that you need with you where you can get at them whenever you want them. The beauty of the Selkirk bags is they're designed by a company that really thinks first, last, and always about pickleball. They've created a series of bags at all kinds of price points that are tremendously well designed, and frankly, they look really good. Look at the Selkirk bags, not only for what you do courtside, I use my tour bag as my travel bag when I'm going around the country. Selkirk will help you have the best experience you can have. Enjoy it. Thanks so much. You can find all the bags on Selkirk.com's website. You know, it was so interesting to me being in, I've been in pickleball for a long time. And when COVID hit and we had all of these things, and now we hear people talking about what brought them into pickleball was nothing else to do in COVID. You guys did something at that time that changed the world as far as I was concerned. And that was, I want to dink with somebody. This was a parody that you did of a Whitney Houston song. Did Ashley sing that?
She is. As I mentioned, we were professional musicians. I played guitar. She was the singer. And she grew up wanting to be either Whitney Houston or Shania Twain. And in that episode of I Want to Dink with Someone, I Want to Dink with Somebody, that came out, I think, right around April 12th or April 13th. And the fun part about that is you'll remember in 2020, April, we were all social distancing. And so what we did is we went to our sound engineer's house, recorded the song, and then sent out sort of the lyrics and the video for people to sing along to. And we got clips. We sent it out to friends that we had started to make in the pickleball community. We got clips from, I want to say, something like 50 different pickleball pros, teachers, and then it was myself and Corey piecing all that information together. and it was tough because we didn't tell anybody, like, you do this part and you do this part.
Sure.
We just gave everybody the clips. And I think the one that stands out to me the most is that I'm keeping score with oven mitts or something. There's a line about oven mitts in there that everybody was like, oh, I can do that one. So we got like 8 versions of people doing oven mitts. It was pretty good. That video has, I think, like 300,000 views or something like that. It went very viral back in April of 2020. Yeah.
To the best of my knowledge, and I've tracked this sport pretty closely for all the years that I've been in it, in my mind, that was the first viral video in pickleball. And I just, I checked it before our call, and it showed 327,000 views on YouTube. But I'll tell you this, if you're watching this and you have not seen I Want to Dink with Somebody, pull it up on YouTube. It'll blow your mind, and you will see the who's who of pickleball on that thing. Well, the reason I make such a big point of that, Patrick, is I was so impressed. And the more I look back at what you guys did with Jigsaw and how you navigated the early stages of pickleball, when virtually nobody had adopted it yet. You say that you saw the sport, you saw things happen. How has pickleball been for Jigsaw now over these last 4 years?
I mean, it's been a wild ride, I would say, for Jigsaw. We feel like we caught the wave like a surfer would, where you kind of see one coming in and you're like, this looks good. I think this can be our wave. I think we have what it takes to ride this. And Paul, I feel like we're still riding it. I'm sure we're going to get into the Breaking Pickleball documentary that we made, but we just continued, I think, ourselves to push and evolve as content creators. To a certain sense, Jigsaw Health, we're an advertiser in the sport. We're a sponsor of the sport. But I kind of figured out early on, especially in 2021, as it started to grow and both PPA and APP started to grow and MLP launched, I was like, Ash, I think that the price tag for buying commercial spots is going to go through the roof. And it did. it really did. Which is a good sign for the sport. But, you know, Jigsaw, we are I refer to us as a small-ish family-owned business. Let me think here. In fact, it'll be kind of fun to share with your audience. And I was working on something for a different presentation. I'll share some numbers, some revenue numbers of what Jigsaw has done. So in 2019, right before we got into pickleball, Jigsaw did $8.5 million in revenue. This year in 2024, what is that? 6 years later, we will do close to $21 million. So we have grown, 140% in 6 years. And in some industries, maybe that's not that great. You know, if you're like a software unicorn and growing 6,000% year over year. But for a non-VC backed, small owned family business that's doing also 20% profit, we're really proud of how we have basically managed the waves over these past several years. And I feel like pickleball has been a big part of that growth. The bane of my existence, of course, is that you can't track it in the same way that you can track Google ads or Facebook ads, direct response advertising. So there's been challenges and head scratching moments where I'm like, I think it's working, but I can't tell you with any precision how much it's contributing. And of course, as I mentioned earlier, Jigsaw has been around since 2005. So we've had a customer base and relationships. A lot of our products, about 20% of our business, is through wholesalers, particularly naturopathic doctors and chiropractors and physical therapists. So we've had a lot of Jigsaw Health products going through those channels that aren't pickleball related. And the funniest part, I would say, is when we've started to see people, registered dietitians, for instance, on Instagram, picking up pickleball cocktail and saying, "Ooh, I love how much potassium is in this. Okay, I'm going to start recommending this to my patients, whether they play pickleball or not."
Sure.
So pickleball cocktail, which we believed was our canary in the coal mine, sort of like, okay, that'll tell us how well this product is doing. Well, the product has now transcended pickleball, and there's all sorts of people taking it and kind of looking at the name and saying, well, I like how it tastes, and if I don't play pickleball, I still am getting 800 milligrams of potassium.
Yeah, and so that story is actually the piece that I really think is so key to this conversation, is the fact that I'm always looking for demonstrations of how companies have navigated the space, prospered within it, but you reacted to it. You actually became very proactive rather than, oh, I come from a long background in the sporting goods business, and there are a lot of followers that start to show up as a business starts to go. And so it was that movement that you guys did early on that I think was really important. And we are going to talk about Breaking Pickleball. But before we do, I want to talk a little bit about what the Orchard was and how that came about, because that really sets the stage for what Breaking Pickleball became. I'll give a little preview on this. So the Orchard, and I've been at Patrick and Ashley's place, is a two-court indoor pickleball. I call it a pickleball studio. It was really set up from scratch to be a showcase environment. Tell us about that.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And we've definitely had some fun playing on the court with you. In really the genesis of the Orchard at Jigsaw Health started during the pandemic, when the pickleball courts in the local Scottsdale, Phoenix area, they were not open. They were shut down, and, you know, we couldn't get our fix.
we couldn't get our our pickle fixed. So Ashley, we were walking the dogs one day, and she was like, "Gosh, what if we just opened our own like indoor pickleball court so that the government didn't even know about it, and then we could just invite people and play whenever we wanted." And actually, I have to give credit to Ashley. So many of the great Jigsaw commercials with pros and all this stuff, really, she's the genius. She's the one that comes up with the premise and thinks about, what if this? And then it's sort of my job and Corey's job and the rest of the team to figure out how to make it reality. But the orchard started as there was some space right next door to our building at Jigsaw Health right in Scottsdale, and in the same building, I should say, a suite next to ours. And we kind of were drawing it out and we're like, well, you know what would be really cool? One of the biggest challenges with pro pickleball, of course, is that you have weather. It's played outdoors, right? So you have weather, you have shadows, you have wind. It's not even that necessarily great for the audience that's out there baking in the sun. There's porta potties, there's not good amenities, all that kind of stuff. And so what turned as a indoor court to play for ourselves, we were like, well, what if we built a boutique stadium, a studio, to use your word, where we can set up the cameras, there's great angles, there's no shadows, it's awesome viewing for the fans. And Ashley and I, we I think maybe in 2021 or something like that, a friend of ours took us to the Phoenix Suns. He had some courtside tickets, VIP, and we were like, this is what the experience needs to feel like for people coming into the orchard to watch pro pickleball. Watching basketball on TV is kind of similar to watching pickleball on TV. It's like, yeah, if you play the game, you can like enjoy it. But when you're sitting courtside, seeing how fast it is, how quick, how big, strong, all that kind of stuff, it's a whole nother ball of wax. So that was the goal with the Orchard at Jigsaw Health. We opened in August of 2022, and we launched an event called Tuesday Night Pickleball featuring the PPA All-Stars. One of the things that we did in partnership with the PPA is we were saying, look, I think that to help grow the viewership of these four-day tournaments, we need to do special Tuesday night events, like basically weeknight events when most people watch television, right? There's a reason they call it prime time in the TV business. And we worked in partnership with Pickleball Central and Pickleball Tournaments to promote the event. So we had four players, four pros, top pros that were going to be at the event. And we gave a kind of a fun, you, the audience, get to vote who plays with each other. So the very first event was Lucy Kovalova, Irina Tarashenko, Jesse Irvin, and Catherine Parento. And it was voted by the internet that Irina and Catherine played together against Jesse and Lucy. And it was such a great event. I have to say, we got our certificate of occupancy on Monday, August 1st, the day before the event went live. And it was, you know, we were promoting, emailing, tweeting, all that kind of stuff. And gosh, our team, our crew was like basically vacuuming floors right before we opened the door. It was, you know, like every good project, down to the wire.
Well, that is great. And I want to just take a little aside. If you're enjoying this and you're seeing what I'm trying to bring in this show, hit the like button, subscribe to the show, tag the notification button, and you'll be the first person to hear it when these things are released. People like Patrick are what I thrive on trying to drive in the sport. You know, you talk about some of the people, and you're some of the original top pros that are still all in the game, but you also brought in, you've put some people on the map through the Tuesday Night Pickleball. And I actually, let me see, before I get into Augie Ga and Pesa Tioni and Jennifer Tavernier and Michael Lloyd and Kyle Kazuto, let's talk a little bit about what Tuesday Night Pickleball is and how that actually is comprised.
So we did six events, six Tuesday Night Pickleball events with the PPA basically the second half of 2022. And going into 2023, we fully expected to continue that partnership. But lovingly, I will say that the PPA gave us a deal that we could say no to. And so we did. We didn't feel like it was a good thing for Jigsaw. And we really just decided to pivot. 1 week later, after
essentially rejecting the deal on the table with PPA, we were supposed to have Tyson McGuffin and Catherine Parento. Who else was going to be there? I think it was, it's escaping me now, but I'll remember. But they were told, those players, those four pros were told they couldn't do that. They couldn't join. And you'll recall that in January of 2022, this is when the PPA and the MLP, I think they were still at war. They had not yet. Yeah, that's true. Because it was, I guess, August of 2022 that they decided that they really, is that right?
Yeah, exactly right on the money.
Yeah. Okay. August of 2022 that they had that. So Ashley and I said, okay, we sold tickets. We sold out for this event and it's 1 week away. But driving back from Palm Springs, PPA Palm Springs, about a week earlier, we started to think a little bit more about pickleball from a local perspective. And as I mentioned previously, I used to be in a band. And one of the things when I was in college, when I would go to try and book my band at a bar, I thought that it was about like, hey, my band needs to sound good so that, you know, the crowd is entertained. And what I really learned was the bar owner just wanted to know how many of your friends can you get to our bar? They didn't really care what I sounded like, and we weren't that good either. But we did have a lot of friends, and this is back in the beginning of like social media with MySpace. Shout out to Tom if you're out there somewhere. We all still love you. You're still a friend. And you know what I thought about driving home from Palm Springs to back to Scottsdale was like, you know, there's an element of the Orchard, because we were only doing one Tuesday night pickleball with the PPA. We were only doing it about once a month, so there's a lot of other time we could use. And we're like, well, what if we launched like a local league that was about basically those people being able to bring their friends to the Orchard, essentially using the players that were going to be on the court as a lead magnet. Well, we kicked that into high gear 1 week after we quote unquote broke up with the PPA. We launched the Arizona Pickleball League, or rather a prototype of the Arizona Pickleball League. Everybody that had purchased tickets, we said, hey, we're giving everybody a full refund. We know you want to see Tyson. We know you want to see Catherine, but they're not going to be here. So instead, we have something else in mind for you. It's going to be the Scottsdale Scorchers versus the Tempe Tornadoes. On that team, Kyle Kazuda, he was a Tornado. Pesa Teone, who you mentioned, he was one of the Scorchers. And we put together teams, two men, two women, similar to MLP, but a couple of different changes. And the night was electric. We experimented with a cumulative scoring method, kind of like basketball. So there's first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter. And at the, I think there was 1 minute left and the game was tied like 50 to 50. And so the crowd is like loving it. The guys are on the court, Tempe Tornadoes versus the Scottsdale Scorchers, and the Scorchers pull it off. I think the final score was 52 to 50. And we were like you plugged us into a light socket. We're like, we have something here. Yep. This is something special. Let's focus pickleball on the local level. Let's build a stage for these local pros to show their, you know, show their talents. And yeah, one of those pros was Augie Gah in season two. That's now, I mean, one, he's probably in the top 20 ranking for guys, and just one of the nicest humans you'll ever meet.
Well, one of the things that I like so much about having been at numerous of the Tuesday night events, right, the energy and excitement. I have often said that the first MLP event I was at in Dripping Springs, Texas, was just nuts. And that exact same experience goes on every time you do an event. The fact that it's a small, tight crowd, what do you do, 100, 120 people?
150.
And it is such a gas to see the energy going into it before you even get started of those people. And the place goes freaking crazy. And yeah. So, but the important thing to me is the ingenuity and the innovation that you guys came along the way. That was such a critical piece. You know, people don't realize when you start talking about 4 years ago in the sport of pickleball, how different it was from today. And it really was your creativity that I thought was just amazing. And I think it's a great testament to what other people can do if they really look at how this sport can be beneficial, how they can find a market space and how they can step into it. You know, the market space that you're in Scottsdale, in the greater Phoenix Valley, or what we call the Valley of the Sun, is a fairly unique place in my mind in the pickleball space, in the enormity and the density of player play. Has that been a big factor for you?
I mean, I don't really know how to compare Phoenix Metro to other locations. I know that there have been a number of places that popped up that are sort of orchard-esque, smaller sized buildings that have really taken a look at what we've done. And I've talked to a number of people like in Whidbey Island. I'm trying to think of some others, but they're, you know, basically they're like, you know, USAP, I don't know if they still have this, but USA Pickleball had a restriction that it's like the indoor height needs to be 24 feet. And when I saw that, I was like, oh, this is going to be a real problem because our ceiling height is 16 at the rafters. So, you know, we went into the warehouse with a ball and a paddle and just started hitting. And we're like, I don't think we're going to ever really hit that roof. And then Ashley was like, well, what if it is? What if they do hit the roof? And I was like, well, the roof is out of bounds. Dang it. So we just made that rule. But I think others have seen what we've done at the Orchard. And really, our goal was to inspire others to say, like, look, you could do this on a smaller scale than a, you know, there's great when you can have a great big complex, but you don't always have that logistically. And we still want our pickleball. So, you know, do it in a, the Orchard is in a, it's 5,500 square feet. We're very blessed to have generous sidelines and generous baselines. It's 10 feet behind each baseline, actually 9.5 and change. And then it's 8 feet on each sideline. So that's how it worked out for us. Others have different dimensions, but I mean, I think that there's a number of kind of other inspired leagues and inspired venues based upon the Orchard. Another one that comes to mind is what Edward Hector and friends did up in Washington with the Washington Pickleball League. That was last summer that they had a big event and, you know, had teams in a couple of weeks. And I don't know. I mean, it's pickleball. It's supposed to be fun, right? It is fun.
And frankly, some of those things may have been inspired. I have talked to so many people about what the experience is like being at Tuesday Night Pickleball, and people are going to be able to see what that experience is like when they hear about the documentary that we're going to talk about in a minute. But it really is, it's something that I've talked to franchise developers, the CEOs of franchises themselves, saying there's a way to take the studio experience of pickleball and make it viable and critical in your market. No place. There is no city in America. I've traveled to all of them. There's nothing that mirrors what Phoenix is in the pickleball space and this insane cadre of pros that you've been able to develop to begin with. And now it's just blowing up. And I mean, the number of players that are on the PPA tour that have come through your operation is a lot. I think that's the kind of inspiration that we want to be talking to the pickleball entrepreneurs, saying, okay, let's look, it's been done. Figure out how to do your version of it. Let's make this thing go. And I think that's really a key piece. Patrick, I've flirted around the edges on Breaking Pickleball. Breaking Pickleball is a documentary. And let's talk a little bit about what that is, how it was inspired. And that was a hell of a production. Tell us about that.
Well, Paul, let me ask you this. Agree or disagree? The best marketing doesn't even really look like marketing. Agree or disagree?
I agree.
Are you familiar with Welcome to Wrexham, the Ryan Reynolds docuseries?
No.
So Ryan Reynolds, I think probably mostly known for his role as Deadpool, but he also owns a gin brand and a phone brand. And like he's a very, very good entrepreneur. In fact, on his LinkedIn profile, I find it funny, it says part-time actor. I think it says like part-time actor, business owner. And my wife, Ashley, and I, we had watched Welcome to Wrexham season one right at the time of January 2023, right as we were, I think it was it kind of helped to prime us for the Arizona Pickleball League, the creation of that. And so as we were sort of saying, all right, well, let's throw together a league. Let's, you know, we're going to do the production. Why don't we hire a documentarian? As I say, actually in the documentary, the reason I hired you guys is because if we absolutely crash and burn with the Arizona Pickleball League, we should at least get it on tape.
Yep.
And the rest of that thought was because I think the story is going to be interesting, whether we fail or whether we succeed. And I got to tell you, Paul, I am so glad that we hired Cole Uphouse. He was the director and really the creator of Breaking Pickleball. Our same team that has made all the Jigsaw Health commercials, Corey Malkin, RJ, Cam, Jamie, Christian, that creative team worked on almost all the other elements of the broadcast. So it was an internal, we didn't like hire a movie studio. We hired Cole as the lead, who made it look so beautiful, did such great job in the interviews of getting out, you know, from Kyle Kazuda saying, I want to be the best in the world. Wow. Kind of scares me to say that, but yeah, that's what I want. It's like capturing those moments in a documentary is just absolute gold. And when I started to see the first couple of rough cuts in what would have been, I guess, like August of 2023, almost about a year ago, I knew we had something in the can that was going to be really, really good. And I don't want to give any spoilers, but the story of season one itself, we couldn't have scripted it better. Like that's the great thing about documentaries. When the story just unfolds in a like underdog story kind of way that you're like, oh my gosh. I mean, I get goosebumps even thinking about it right now, how it all unfolded. And I'm so glad that we spent the money, that we made the investment to capture that and then put it into a 6-episode docuseries. It was a lot of work, but gosh, I'm just so glad we summited that mountain, as I say.
Well, and I'm going to tell anybody that's watching this interview, you will have never seen anything. Breaking Pickleball is the finest, most well-done, high production value thing that's been done in pickleball yet. It's cool, it's fun, it's exciting, but it really was the fact that you had this insane pickleball studio, the angles, the camera angles, yeah. The ability that you, the materials that you were able to capture, nobody does, and nobody has yet been able to do because they don't have a studio. They're sitting there putting up their temporary setup for an event, for a tournament, one or two camera angles. When people see what Breaking Pickleball looks like, you're going to see what the future of pickleball in media is. And so, I mean, you guys, I think you did a great job. I'm obviously a fan of the event. We're going to try and we're going to bring in a little bit of Breaking Pickleball as a piece in this, and we're going to see how that edits in. And so we'll see where that goes.
Yeah. Can we run a clip there? Josh, can you roll a clip?
I think we should look for a clip there of this.
Pickleball is the greatest game, like the greatest sport in the world.
Wow. There we go, Python!
If we absolutely crash and burn with the Arizona Pickleball League, we should at least get it on tape.
This is gonna be epic.
You know, I would like you to touch a little bit on exactly what you've got in the studio. What do people, not, they don't see it, but it's there. How do you do that?
Oh, gosh. Actually, I think one of the cool parts about Breaking Pickleball is that we do pull back the curtain and we really show a lot of the production. So the team, my team, the Jigsaw Health creative team that produces the live broadcast, we really kind of go behind the scenes and show some of the struggles, but also some of the equipment. I believe there are 11 cameras in total for each broadcast. The team is comprised of about 10 people, including two commentators. Shout out to my wife, Ashley, and Matt Staggers, the play-by-play and the color analyst for most of the Tuesday night pickleball matches. And You know, going back to something that that you said recently on the Pickle Pod, Zane Navratil had on Kyle Kazuda, and they were talking a little bit about pickleball media and growing the game. And Zane mentioned that Kyle has like 120,000 YouTube subscribers and PPA has like 90,000 or 95,000 subscribers. And the question was like, how do we get the pro sport above a single specific content creator, which exactly. is a great question. And one thing that I've been asking a lot as well. And, you know, I think it was kind of Steve Kuhn, the creator of MLP, who had said, we need to do a drive to survive of pickleball. And one of the things that we saw in creating Arizona Pickleball League was the chance to do that. And it's not just here's a tournament, and something happened and someone win. And now we go to the next week and there's another tournament. Because Arizona Pickleball League was a team format and they all played each other over the course of 10 weeks and you have four spots to get into the playoffs and five teams. Well, one, that means that one team is going to get eliminated over the course of 10 weeks. And then you get the playoffs. And the playoffs, I mean, it's playoffs, right? So the story that just kind of unfolded naturally created a drive to survive kind of format. And yeah, the characters, many of the characters from that, Kyle, Caden Nemoff, Michael Lloyd, some of the people that we featured in those episodes of Breaking Pickleball, you know, they tell me that they're getting recognized. Craig Johnson has the greatest line where his wife says to him, like, people are like coming up to you and they want to meet you. It's like ridiculous. So yeah. I mean, the production quality of Breaking Pickleball was super top notch. We even like bought the cameras that would make them eligible to be on Netflix, because Netflix documentaries require a certain amount of technology or whatever that is. Mm-hmm. I'm not the techie on that stuff. Thankfully my team is, but I know I wrote the check to get the two new cameras so that we could be Netflix eligible. And we did pitch to Netflix, but they didn't accept it. Thankfully Amazon Prime Video did accept, and we went live maybe 5 or 6 weeks ago. So everybody, if you search Breaking Pickleball, you'll find it. Actually, if you search pickleball, we come up like first or second. So that's pretty cool too.
Yeah, that is cool. And it is, it's funny. I had the privilege of having been invited to the premiere of Breaking Pickleball, and they hired a theater and had the full on red carpet. It was such an impressive event. I was anxious. I told everybody I know, well, you see this, you're going to see something you've never seen in pickleball before. And then that you had to kind of hold your water a little bit as you were trying to negotiate your rollout of it. I was so excited when I saw it show up on Prime that, you know, that was, that was a biggie for me.
Well, Paul, you're being modest, because you are actually the first character in scene number one of Breaking Pickleball. You were the opening line of the whole documentary. And if I can repeat for the audience what it was, because it cracks me up every time I push play. Paul Olson sitting there says, well, I started playing pickleball because I used to do drugs, and pickleball gave me the rush that I used to feel when I was doing drugs.
Well, but you have to, everybody watching, you have to understand there was no intent on that. You had asked me and Tom Botorff at one point, we were there playing pickleball. I said, hey, you guys are real OGs in the game. You've been around a lot of stuff. Would you answer some questions? And so, and I didn't know I was going to be in it. I was very thrilled and flattered that I got a little bit of FaceTime. But my old drug counselor called me and said, is this still working for you? So that was, that's a good thing.
Good. I'm happy to hear that. And really, it was, you never know what's going to happen when you turn record on the camera, and you just, it set the tone in such a perfect way. There's an element of this documentary where we almost wanted the audience to ask, is this a mockumentary?
Yeah.
We wanted them to be a little unsure. And of course, that is most embodied by the character, your friend and mine, the Orchard security guy.
Yes. Yeah. You know what? You need to expand on that a little bit, because that is a fun component. And don't leave the chicken out. Leave the chicken.
So the orchard security guy is a good friend of ours. And when we were first opening the orchard in August of 2022, and, you know, we were getting down to the wire, and, you know, friends of ours in the pickleball community that we played with at like Horizon Courts and stuff like that, they're like, hey, what can we do to help? You know, this is so exciting. And I'm pretty sure they were just trying to help so they could get invited to play, but that's all right. That's okay. Yeah, incentives work. And Derek Nannon, the orchard security guy, he said, you know, what can I do to help? And I was like, dude, well, I mean, we're hosting an event. There's going to be 150 people there. We don't have any security. Could you be security? Because he's 6'3", 6'4", you know, good 200. And he goes, yeah, I got this. So he shows up that day dressed in this whole security garb that he bought on Amazon. Listeners, if you go to Instagram and type the Orchard Security Guy, you can see a lot of great clips of Derek as the Orchard Security Guy. And it's sometimes hard to know if he's Derek or if he's the Orchard Security Guy, because he lives his life as that character. And it just so cracks me up. The best part, I think, was that after he kind of developed this, I think it was either Ashley or myself. I don't remember. This is one of those, like, we can't remember where the idea came from. I was like, you know what? I think I was inspired by, there's a security guard on the show of Jimmy Kimmel. And he wears like an outfit, and he like comes in to do regular bits. Guillermo, I think, is maybe his name. And, you know, it's just kind of this funny character bit. And I was like, well, we have a security guard. I was like, but what if we started doing Tuesday night pickleball promotions using the character that would be the least likely person you would expect to see, the security guy at the orchard. So we started this series where I think seven or so commercials of him saying, the most important part about Tuesday night pickleball are these doors. I have a 34-point inspection on this door. Most people would do a simple lock, unlock. I check the rafter, you know, blah, 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 blah. And then he ends it with like, no doors, no pros. No pros, no pickleball. And it's just his dry, deadpan delivery. It's just, it cracks me up. And then to include him as essentially the narrator of Tuesday Night Pickleball, it was kind of a no-brainer. He just delivered so well. It was fun. I mean, none of us are professional actors, but yet the team behind the cameras know how to make us look and sound good so that, like you said, the production quality really comes off as top notch. As one of my friends said, who's in the nutrition industry, he's like, dude, this looks like it came out of Hollywood. Like, I'm shocked that you made this. Yeah. I'm like, well, I'm going to take that as a compliment and not as a diss. I didn't know anybody that could do something that looked like it came from Hollywood. This is incredible.
Yeah, no, it really is. And I'll tell you, Patrick, one of the things that I've so enjoyed in this show, and I really need to do a thank you to Selkirk. They created the opportunity for me to do these interviews with people, and I've done them now all over the country. I've got over 60 episodes that have been done on Selkirk TV. But it's the ability to help the industry see how people that can use innovation and creativity, and the fact that you're talking about the fact that you weren't professional actors, no one will watch Breaking Pickleball and not go, oh my God, that was as cool and well done. Your storytelling is great. The character development, Cimarron, I love Cimarron's flexing, you know, what a character. So the character development, and for me, you know, in all entertainment, character development is a critical, critical piece. But that being said, I think all of us watching need to say thank you to Selkirk, to say thank you to Jigsaw, because you guys were in the earliest stages, and it's your creativity and innovation that has really helped a lot of the sport move along. Breaking Pickleball is the next stage in that. And I so hope, and I'm going to do everything I can to help people take a look at this, because they're going to just be blown away when they see it. With that, I want to say thank you very much for being on the show. This has been a great episode. I look forward to, I can't wait for February when the next Tuesday night season starts again. I'll be there.
Perfect.
And so good. Patrick, thank you very much. Oh, go ahead.
Well, before you close, and I will give you the last word because it is your show, but I also want to echo your thanks to Selkirk specifically, because Selkirk partnered with us in April of 2024, earlier this year, to help us do a big private web release. And one of the things that Selkirk offered was for everybody that signed up, they had a chance to win a free Selkirk paddle for life. And I don't recall who did win it, but some woman in Canada, I believe, is the proud owner of a brand new Selkirk every year for the rest of her life. And I know that she is thrilled. So I definitely, we'll fix that in post too. I definitely want to give a very, very warm welcome to the Barnes brothers, to Kate, to Doug, to everybody on the team. Gosh, his name is escaping me and now I feel like a jerk. Gosh, who's in charge of video productions at Selkirk?
Cooper Deck.
Cooper. Yeah. Okay. I almost had Coop. So repeat Cooper Deck, that.
The plug for Cooper.
Yeah, let's do that. So I want to give a big warm welcome to the team at Selkirk, especially the Barnes brothers, especially Kate and Coop, Cooper Deck in particular, worked with me on that promo and it went excellent. So thank you very much, Team Selkirk.
Cool. You know, something that's going to be sort of interesting that we'll have to talk about is Selkirk, the Barnes brothers, and myself will be in Dubai in January at a very major global pickleball industry event. I would love to be able to use your video as part of what we're doing there, because I think we're going to be showing people from Asia, from the Middle East, from Europe, awesome, what pickleball is really capable of being. We should get permission to use that.
I know the guy that can give it to you.
Perfect. Perfect. Patrick, thank you very much. This has been a great show. I've enjoyed it. I look forward to seeing you down the pickleball road.
Take care, Paul. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you for everything that you do for helping to grow this wonderful sport of pickleball. I really appreciate it. We all